From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together with Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. It was already dawn. Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something." So they cast it. And they were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the nets weren't torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I always love coming over to celebrate Mass with you, sisters. But if there's one Mass during the year that I love celebrating with you, it's Friday of the Easter Octave. Even more than Sacred Heart when I'm around. First, because it's Easter, but then second, what the Lord does in the readings today to help us. In each of these post-resurrection appearances, there's a dynamism. First, Jesus shows up. Second, nobody recognizes him. Third, they begin to recognize him. And it's that growth in faith. And then fourth, Jesus gives them a mission. We see that with the woman who went to the tomb with Mary Magdalene. We see it with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We see it here. They're up in Galilee, just as we heard in the sequence. Mary Magdalene was given the mission to say, "Go up to Galilee and I'll meet you there." And so they were there. Peter went back to fishing and the others joined him. But like that first time of the calling, they caught nothing. And that was directly by the Lord's design. At dawn, Jesus cried from the shore, "Little children, have you caught anything?" His voice had obviously changed after the resurrection. Mary didn't recognize it in the garden until he called her name. They weren't recognizing it here, and they had been listening to almost nobody else for 3 years. His voice had changed. But as soon as they caught the 153 large fish, the same type of miracle with which Peter, Andrew, James, and John had originally been caught by the Lord. That's when John, with his intuitive sense, recognized that it had to be the Lord. And Peter, with his extraordinary zeal, the zeal that led him to go overboard during the storm to meet Jesus, tucked in his clothes and swam that distance in order to be there in the Lord's presence. They recognized him. Jesus fed them. He was continuing the miracle of the multiplication of fish and bread here. It was at the end of which we'll hear on June 8th this year, Friday of the seventh week, that Jesus gave that mission for Peter to feed Christ's sheep and lambs. And he gave his prophecy that Peter himself would be crucified out of love for the Lord. And that mission to feed and tend Christ's sheep and lambs, that mission to give witness to the Lord by his own life, death, and resurrection, we see being anticipated in today's first reading. It's one of the most incredible scenes in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and John were dragged before all those who had crucified Jesus. All the leaders, the elders, the scribes were assembled. Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, all those who were in the high priestly class. Even more people were here than at Jesus' trial. And it would have been really intimidating as these two heavily accented Galileans were brought before all the leaders. And then they were questioned, they were interrogated. By what power, by what name have you done this? And Peter, who cowardly had denied that he even knew the Lord, spoke up filled with the Holy Spirit. Leaders and elders of the people, if we're being examined today about this good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know. Here comes his testimony to the power of Jesus' name. The name Jesus, Yeshua, as you know, means God saves. So he's going to talk almost in tautology, but it's not a tautology for a Jew in the Hebrew language. It's a reinforcement. If you're asking about the saving power of the name God saves, here it is. It was in the name of God saves, the Messiah, the Nazarene, Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead in response to you. You thought that you were in control. You're not. In this name, God saves, this man stands before you healed. For there's no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we're to be saved. Moses' name won't save. Elijah's name won't save. Abraham's name won't save. It's only this name, Jesus. So if you wish to be saved, you're going to have to get to know God who saves and has saved in the flesh. And he quotes Psalm 118. The stone, he is the stone rejected by you, the builders, who has become the cornerstone. That the rejection didn't last. And in the same way, they would reject Peter. And Peter would become the rock on whom Jesus would build his church. It would be precisely through Peter's own death in Rome that the church would be built on that sturdy foundation. Peter was tending and feeding Christ's flock here, beginning with those for whom Jesus had died among the leaders of Israel. He was already giving witness, and he would suffer for these words, as we know through the Acts of the Apostles in upcoming days. What an extraordinary transformation. So the same Lord who appeared to them on the seashore of Galilee comes here to feed us with something far greater than fish and bread. He comes here to ask if we've caught anything in our apostolate, how we've done with our acts of love. And even if we have labored for a long time and seemingly done so fruitlessly, he tells us to launch out today. He gives an extraordinary prophecy in the exact number of fish that were caught. Again, all of this was by divine design. 153 showed that they actually treasured everyone and they counted. But it was also the number of nations in the world, as they thought at the time, and the amount of species of fish So Jesus had sent them out to cast on the other side, showing that they were supposed to go to all nations and catch every type of human being, that none anywhere was to be excluded. So today, Jesus, whom we meet, whom we might not recognize initially, but who wants us to grow in faith, is going to give us a mission. Go and proclaim the gospel to the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Knowing that there's no one to be excluded from that mission, and knowing that the saving power of the name is with us. Praise be Jesus Christ.